Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Okay, it's time to report. Any of you who have started acting upon... a little levity. I understand that you're just starting to get drinking from the fountain of laying out a county attack, or actually how to create the footings and foundation for moving your county towards a constitutional county. It's all about awakening. It's all about understanding what you have to do. Now, don't forget, try to ensure that you are taking the time out every week to honor him and keep him central in your life. And so that would be the Sabbath. But more importantly, ensure that he guides you and inspires you as you do this work. Now, what's really important, because if you look at how the framers operated, did they bring in their theology into this work at all? No. So if you remember, the Constitutional Convention, the reasons they were having problems was that they were so, and I'm going to use the word non-denominational instead of using, or the phrase non-denominational, instead of using the word secular, because back in those days, they actually used the word secular, because back in those days, in essence, they were Christian men, Christian nation, Christian community. It was without saying that they were Christian. However, they weren't unified on a particular faith. Each community had, you know, some differences in faith. Majority of the people belonged to a very specific faith. And the Anglican Church was very aggressive in keeping and quieting anybody that actually pontificated or apostolated or you know, taught the gospel that was competitive to the Anglican Church. They actually passed laws to keep that from happening. But anyway, what they did was they actually put aside their differences, and they did not practice their faith, even though there were many reverends that were involved in the work regarding, you know, the Revolution, the work in establishing the Articles of Confederation, the Articles of Association, which was predated that, and the Constitution. They did pray at the beginning of each meeting, and that at the Constitutional Convention, and that actually became, I think, a turning point in helping ensure that we invite the Spirit and his wisdom, the divine hand of providence's wisdom, to inspire us and help us. But they didn't, as soon as they were finished with prayer, they didn't go into the, and I don't want to talk, I don't want to call it dogma, but they didn't go into the doctrines. It's both start with D, dogma, doctrine. Nevertheless, what they did was they focused on the tenets of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and how the laws of nature and nature's God and or natural law, and how they could all agree upon those basic fundamentals. A lot of people make a direct association to the Bible and the Constitution, that the Constitution is a biblical constitution, and so forth. And actually, the Constitution may have been framed and inspired by that, but to be clear, the Bible actually, or I should say, even, when most people look at the Bible, then it is either this way or that. And that's why there were some that were wrong, like John Adams, in stating that the Constitution was built for a righteous nation or what, and in his mind, that would have been a Christian nation. But contradicting that, John Adams also told, when he was president, and I forget who it was, an Islamic or a Mohammedan king, or, you know, the leader of the Mohammed nations or the nations of Islam over in the Ottoman Empire, he made, you know, comment that the United States was not a Christian nation. He was absolutely wrong on that in the fundamental sense that every state had an association, a direct association at that point in time, to a Christian church. They had an established church for each state. So how was that not a Christian nation at that time? We don't have states directly associated to any church anymore. In other words, they're not giving taxes and or money that they collect from the people via taxes to a church to take care of the compassion services such as welfare and those things. The states have gotten into the business of doing that, and that is how we really started getting perverted, so people can understand how we really got off the track. And there were a lot of contributing factors that started moving things in that direction. And the Great Awakening of the 1800s, the Second Great Awakening in America, which was in the 1800s, was, I will just say, the catalyst that moved us away from having that symbiotic relationship between church and state at the state level to a a separate relationship. In other words, they separated themselves. There was no longer that symbiosis. So anyway, as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this show is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. Now, as I kind of started off with a little levity, okay, report, you know, and that's usually calling out for a very specific sequence in a meeting, and everybody knows their sequence of who reports first, who reports next, and who reports on what they're doing and what they have done in their counties to actually start moving forward. Because what I'm giving you is I'm giving you the layout, the recipe, the what you have to establish and what you have to educate people so that people, as people understand what needs to be done, then it's easier to do it. Oh, okay, so we've got to have a trench from here to here. We need a trench. So how do we create a trench? Okay, we need shovels, picks, and those types of implements and tools to create that trench. We got to go make a trench. So now we understand the labor, tools, and everything involved, and now we just go and do it. So as we lay out what the roles are and what you need to do and how you need to do it, then you should be able to actually start acting and working together. See, all of these conservative entertainers out there are just wasting your time. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, sometimes when I do my errands, the primary talk show in my local area, because of the person that is becoming so popular as a conservative talk show host, is Charlie Kirk. And so I want to make a couple of comments regarding Charlie Kirk and some couple of things he said that came out of his mouth this week. And the first thing that really upset me, because of his illiteracy regarding the Constitution, is that he was talking to a person. I think he got an email from somebody who was working and at and attending West Point. And the Army has come out and said, we're going to mandate vaccinations on everybody. And this person had a real problem with that. And before, you know, also, let me give you some more information, that the Army stated that anybody that refuses will be kicked out with a bad conduct discharge. Now, that's interesting. That is interesting that the Army has taken that position, because the Army is not unaware of this thing called conscientious objections. And that typically is religious. Well, when you start talking about the physical body, because does not the body refer to, or does not the Bible and most Christendom refer to the body as a temple that houses a spirit, a spiritual being, you, your essence? And so when they're talking about injecting your body, the temple, your temple, where your spirit resides, where your spirit actually can entwine with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ, I want you to understand here that as you start understanding that this body being a temple, then they're defiled. So it's one thing for them to say, you know, you've got to, you know, these are the jobs you have to do. And then it, religiously, if you have a moral conscience, you know, and a what they call a conscientious objection to, you know, killing somebody, then you can actually conscientiously object. Well, you can do the exact same thing if they're threatening to inject something that is harmful, that we know is basically making some fundamental changes to your DNA. And this is why they're uploading. This is why it is not just a single shot that actually addresses the virus. This is a shot that is addressing a lot of other things that they're just not telling you. And so a person should be able to have a conscientious objection to, you know, being forced into doing that. And we're going to get into this whole, how this all with petitions and everything else. But I want to just close on this whole concept that Charlie Kirk didn't know what to do, didn't know what to tell this guy. And I'm telling you, and you can tell everybody you know, whether they're in the military or not, they have a fundamental constitutional right to conscientiously object and not receive that shot. And in so doing, the Army has actually come right out. They kind of acknowledge the fact that if you don't do it, we're going to give you BCD. They can't give you BCD. A conscientious objection gives you a straight pass to a general discharge. You don't get an honorable discharge. You get a general discharge, period. They can't punish you, because what they're doing is, because there is nothing in the documentation that the Army has as far as their policies and their rules and regulations that states that, you know, if you conscientiously object to injections, that, you know, that's a crime or anything like that. So what they're doing is they're actually creating a bill of attainder, or they're basically creating a law to punish you, a law of punishment. And they can't do that. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anyway, Charlie Kirk basically says, I don't know what to tell this guy. I don't know what to tell him. And I go, are you kidding? So, I understand he's a young man, and I understand he's way ahead in his popularity and in talking on issues that he can't talk about. He doesn't understand. Anybody that wants to get involved in making commentary and editorializing and becoming a conservative entertainer and not understand the Constitution and not be able to stand up with authority and say, you have this right, then I woe unto our population that listens to those guys, gals, whatever, because they are not providing the direction and service that they should be. Truly, a leader would be able to answer those types of questions because they understand the fundamentals of our government and our law. If the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, they should at least be able to place things into context if they understand the Constitution. But what happens is these guys start, you know, blabbing behind a microphone like yours truly, and they all of a sudden become popular because they develop a knack in articulating really nice salient points about a problem and offer no solution and offer no true leadership and guidance. And so this is the problem we have to deal with when we listen. This is why we turned off our television service years ago. We actually stopped watching television probably well over a decade ago. There was very specific shows that we would either watch, and we would just record those on the DVR because that way we could just miss the commercials. Who wasn't using a DVR over a decade ago to miss the commercials? And this is why Dish came out with the Hopper that allowed you to actually skip over the commercials where you didn't even have to hit fast forward. So the Hopper was a great technology that they got sued over. And as far as I know, I believe they won because they're providing you a service that you want. They're not obligated to the networks to actually force you to have to watch those things. We're moving in direction so quickly that there is an argument for a 21st century Bill of Rights, and we'll get into that. But what I want to do is let me get through these obligatories. Timber Nation, if you're looking for shelves or what have you, entertainment systems, what have you, Timber Nation, go look these guys up, timbernation.com. There is another company that I have engaged with over the years to actually buy, and a patriotic company. They don't put patriotism out on their sleeve, but this guy's a patriot, and he supports on his own personal side the patriot movement. And it is, his is Radio Covers. And as a matter of fact, if I tell you the link to it, I can do that. It would be radiodustcovers.com. So go to Radio Dust Covers. And this is why you probably want to do this. Because if you've got pets, if you've got dust in your house, and you have expensive equipment, whether that be stereo equipment or even your computer, now, if you run your computer every day, all day like me, then it is absolutely useless to actually try to put a dust cover on it, because putting a dust cover on it would actually have it overheat because it can't pull in the cool air. But if you do run a computer all day, what you do have is you have a air filter, because a computer with the electrostatic energy that runs through all those boards and everything else, if you wonder why all of that dust accumulates in there, is because your computer sucks in the air, and then it has all of this ionic and or this electrostatic energy on these boards that just the hair, the mites, the dust, and all that type of stuff clings to those things, and it functions as an air filter. It's an expensive air filter, so you'd probably be better off if you did have a, and I don't want to call it an extremely harsh environment, but if you do have, and your computer grosses you out if you open it up every year or two, then you should get yourself, wherever you have your computers in, you should probably get yourself an air purifier so that you can reduce the amount of airborne dust, particles, and so forth. But anywho, let me move on. Red Pill Expo at Lafayette, Louisiana. Get your legislators aware of the fact that they can attend this for free. I'm still working on and trying to connect with the good people that are planning this so that if they can't make it, they need to be there so that they can stream, okay? So here we go. I hope Harry's listening. Our comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, let me kind of cover the bases again on the roles that you will have to fill in your county immediately. These are things that you actually have to do to get organized, to get people to start connecting with you and so forth, so that you can actually start having a kickoff event and or other events, as well as start having meetings. If there is no Constitution Party structure in your county. There's no county chair, there's no central committee, and the best way to find out is go to the national leadership. If you don't have anything in your state, and oh, by the way, there's a lot. There is a lot in the state. I should say a lot of states, and actually I'm going to pull it up here because I think speaking on this specifically would be very helpful. So as we look at, I haven't actually created that link, so I'm going to go open that link myself right now. And what we're going to do is kind of give you the states that are missing any type of organization at the state level, which basically means that you're going to need to, you know, work together in establishing a state central committee as well as your own county committee. So if you're in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Connecticut, Delaware, these are states that have no organization. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's just the top. I'll give you more, but there's no doubt in my mind the national party would love to see, you know, a county awaken and let the county start, you know, take over the state until you build the rest of the state by having county central committees, because everything is a central committee, right? So down at the county level, you're going to create a county central committee, but keep in mind that these are actually a part of the unorganized militia, because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, there is no political entity out there that is in direct support of a constitutional county militia, an unorganized militia. What you want to do is to get to the constitutional county status, you need to create an actual unorganized militia at the county level. And I say that because technically, until the state and the governor recognizes that the National Guard does not fulfill the militia requirements, it fills federal requirements that are unconstitutional, that what the governor has to do is basically take that money and disband the money he's getting for the National Guard, disband the National Guard, and use that money in establishing the state militia that goes out to every county. The National Guard is not configured that way. It is not configured by county drilling, county instructions. It is done at a state level. This is why you'll probably find that there are several counties, even though they are populated, there are several counties within a state's National Guard that has no member from that county. Most of them seem to come from the populated area. But anyway, I digress. Let me get into the other state names. If you live in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, and Maryland, those are states that have no real organization whatsoever. No state leadership, not aware of anything, and I'm not aware of any county leadership as well. The next state would be Mississippi. The next state below that is Nebraska. And oh, by the way, many of these states that we're mentioning are actually some red states, like Nebraska. I think I mentioned Kentucky, Kansas, Louisiana. Those are red states. Primarily, they're red states. Why is there an Indiana? Why is there no Constitutional Party? If you know somebody that is a patriot that lives in that area, wake them up and say, this is what you can do, especially these people that want to do something, but they just don't know what to do and how to be effective. We want to make sure we do everything we can to help you be successful. Your success is our success. That's how important what you do is, because we cannot be successful without you in building your state apparatus and building your county apparatus throughout the state. Going on, we have North Dakota. It seems like a pretty dark red state. Absolutely. Rhode Island, South Dakota is another dark red state. And we've got Texas. But Texas has what we call, Texas is an apostate state. And I say that because Texas is unaffiliated with the National Party. But they have an organization called the Constitution Party, but they're not affiliated. They broke away. And we can get into why these things have happened. And the last one is Washington State. Washington State used to actually have, and so they do have some organization, and they probably have some county leadership, but it's very limited, and it needs to get organized and moving again. So now you know that, you know, the sky's the limit in several states. It's not, you know, it's not like you're going to be plugging into an already organized system. Now, some of these states may have had, like Washington State had some structure and organization, had a state chair and some county chairs and so forth. So if that's the case, they probably have bylaws, they probably have their platform and those types of things. So there's the rudimentary documentation that you have to establish as a party, and we're going to help you do that. And as a matter of fact, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you how we're creating a template for you so that you can get organized and running fast, because we want to run you so hard we run you into the ground. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we just went into break, I made a comment regarding running you hard. Now, I know that there are people that, you know, because go read the Bible. If you read Matthew chapter 24, Christ identifies, because they're asking him, what are the last days going to look like before he comes? When he comes again, how will we know? What would we be seeing in society? And I'm really paraphrasing here, but his answer is very revealing, because he makes a comment saying that everybody will be offended. In other words, we're going to become such a sensitive group of people that we take offense on everything. How is that not pointing to the woke society? I mean, the entire appeasement of every stupid little thing out there, because, you know, I refer to the group of people out there, okay, you guys, when there's girls in there and they take offense. Really? When no offense was really intended, but maybe an insensitivity. But why are we making mountains out of molehills when we have much bigger problems? It is because we have just running rickshaw through us. I mean, it's just like a banshee, a screaming banshee that's completely drunk and just stumbling all over the place, is just kind of wreaking havoc in everything that we're doing, because we're constantly taking offense. Anyway, so you should never take offense to what I'm telling you. And as a matter of fact, I want to put things in perspective because tough love works. Being harsh, you know, if you look at the different services, why is it that very few people want to actually join the Marine Corps? Because everybody knows that the Marine Corps boot camp is the toughest boot camp. They don't even call it boot camp in the Army. They call it basic training. But if you really put, you know, the facts down on the table, the reason why people are afraid to join the Marine Corps is because it's tough. You're not going to be treated like a baby. The Marine Corps has always been tough. And my hat goes off and my heart goes out to all those who've lost Marines. As a Marine, I understand the profound responsibility that we have. And very rarely do we recognize this on a daily basis, which is a good thing. My heart goes out. But anyway, there's a reason why everybody was afraid to go into it. Because I remember when we were at AFES, which was the Armed Forces Entrance Exam Station, where, you know, the Army, Air Force, and those guys that were going into the Air Force, they were really proud. And, you know, I'm going into the easy boat. I got accepted into the Air Force. Army, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm just doing this because I want a job. But I don't want to be beaten up. I don't want to be disciplined. In other words, I don't want to be changed too much. I don't want to become too disciplined in my life. Navy, a little tougher, but still not the Marine Corps. And as a matter of fact, as you look at leaders and so forth, you know, and the impact leaders have, you can always tell the difference between a Marine and any other service. And that's just because of that instilled discipline. It is not something to take lightly. If you want to get disciplined, you have to either discipline yourself or you go into some type of a program that's going to treat you tough. Babying you does not make you a world-class champion. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the top-level performers in any aspect, in any discipline, not just in sports, but in business and so forth, you'll probably find those who make the biggest impact have a high-level discipline and were given a great amount or large doses throughout their life of tough love. This is why I tell people how Abraham Lincoln, because of his tough love, because of his losses, he became so hardened, he was the perfect candidate to actually, you know, steer America away from slavery when we were confronted over the division of America and his perception of a failed presidency. So when we start looking at things, you look at it in a macro view with a little applied analytics, you can start recognizing all of these different advantages of receiving tough love. So as you start creating an organization, please do not create an organization where mollycoddling and, you know, babying people becomes the rule of the day, or you will never obtain the level of success that you truly desire. And I'm just telling you right up front, tough love works. Please stop looking for, you know, why you're offended. So don't be offended. Get thick-skinned and actually, you know, be an administrator of tough love. But it's okay to say, you know, I love you, and this is why you have to do better. Because if you really think about it, the people that really care will actually do those things. If you've ever heard of, you know, a parent saying, this hurts me more than it hurts you, there is some truth to that. And there's got to be some truth to the fact that when our Creator, you know, has to punish us, there's no doubt in my mind that it hurts him as well. Because as a parent, I have experienced that. You start understanding things profoundly when you become that parent. But anyhow, let's get back into the basic roles and structures here, right? So you're going to be the communications officer and the public relations officer, which is basically a similar hat. If you get so big, you can actually split this up into two different positions, especially when you, if you have, and you should, if you become large enough, you should find somebody that's really good at public relations and somebody else that's really good at communications, or, you know, connecting people, getting out there, making new connections, and so forth. And working together with your recruiter in your recruiting strategies, and, you know, having events and getting people to understand that you actually have these meetings. The best problem you can have is you just don't have a venue big enough in your county to house enough people that would want to come and meet. Then you start looking at the sports stadiums and say, hey, can we meet there? Now, if you structure yourself in these large meetings as the militia, then you can actually, you know, now you're functioning as a civics group, an actual legal constitutional civics group, but not as a party. And then at that point in time, because everybody in the party should be a part of the militia structure of the county, right? We're all part of the militia. And it'd be based on this concept that Congress does have the power to establish standards, whether we like it or not. Schroeder, whatever that senator's name was from Colorado in the 80s, that hated men and hated the military and was an atheistic. I have nothing good to say about this woman. And so she did some really bad things that really, I would say, hurt the men and women in the service. But bottom line, because they started changing who was supposed to serve and that they could serve in combat, Congress has already crossed that bridge. Now, states may have laws and regulations that don't recognize that. But actually, as we move back towards a militia and as we move back towards constitutional framework for our government, Congress may actually change that to go back to women. But there may be a lot of people that would say, hey, this is wrong. You can't do that. I don't know. I'm just saying it is in the Constitution left up to Congress to create those standards. And currently, those standards are men and women serve. And men and women can serve equally in combat. But I don't think you can compel a woman to serve in combat. Anywho, so we need to start looking at our structures in the county as, you know, everybody is a part of the militia, not just the guys. Guys and gals, we're all a part of the unorganized militia. And here as the unorganized militia, you have these different functions. Now, I haven't even really talked about the party and the party central committee yet. We've got to get into a large enough position to where we have so many people that are part of the constitutionally unorganized militia that we actually can then start saying, okay, now we actually have an element of the militia that will be the Constitution Party. Now, if you talk to anybody that has been in the militia or is in the militia, an unorganized militia, they will tell you that they have nothing to do with party. That is because the party actually takes these positions of, and I'll just call them moral positions and subjective positions, you know, whereas the opposing of the right for life and or the, you know, the right of choice. Well, if you go into the Constitution Party, those things are completely wiped out, those subjective things, because the Constitution Party, if it's standing on the Constitution, says, hey, the federal government has no jurisdiction over that. They can't dictate. This is a state issue. And so now you've abjugated that need to have to go into a moral position. Is it in the compact? No, it's not in the compact. It's not a federal issue. The federal government has no ability to dictate, you know, life, marriage, and all of these other things that they've dictated. They're dictating almost and regulating every facet of our life, how much water we use in our toilet. Are you kidding me? All of these things are outside their jurisdiction. So we can't be looking at this as with our theological eyes. We have to look at this as a contractual, with our contractual eyes, our law eyes, our law. the contract law eyes. That's where we want to kind of put that paradigm. Is it there? If it's not, then they can't do it. And then move it down to the states, and we'll get back to the states when we come back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so putting it back into perspective, and let's just work through two issues here, abortion and homosexual marriage. Clearly, if you live in the state of Washington, Washington State, by the voters, has legalized abortion back in 1971, and they legalized homosexual marriage. Now, the voters can actually overturn these, and they may want to go down that path of doing exactly that constitutionally. However, the fact is that in those two particular states, they've actually legitimized these two, I'll just say, abhorrent ideas and practices. So in Washington State, the Constitution Party, then their position would be that the federal government has no business in mandating this or any other thing that is not enumerated. And then they may want to take a position to say, we need to look at organizing so that we can, restore the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage, as a separate political issue with grassroots activists. But the party itself's position is that these things are the current law. If you don't like it, you don't go out necessarily and protest. What you do is you have to use either your First Amendment petition and or educational campaigns and try to overturn those things in the state. Now, getting the federal government completely out of this, what will end up happening, it will end up making Washington a beacon for anybody that wants an abortion to come across the state lines to actually have their abortion. Because, bottom line, Washington State would be still performing abortions. But let's look at Alabama. Alabama never passed a homosexual law, nor have they passed and legalized abortion. So once the Constitution Party in Alabama would basically take the stand that this is repugnant, it is not a part of our legal system constitutionally, either at the national constitution or the federal compact, nor at the state compact. Therefore, it's a moot issue. We don't even have to, we're no longer going to be performing, because the only reason that there are homosexual marriages and abortions that are occurring in the state of Alabama is because of the federal mandate. unconstitutional exertion of force and power upon a state. This is what happens when you give the, you know, when you give the ability of the child to basically buy favor from the parent and subjugate the parent by using lucre, money, whatever you want to call it, in forcing them to go down the and manipulating them to go down these paths. This is why there was never an intent to create welfare or to be able to buy all of these things that the federal government has been buying from the states. And if you look at how much outlays, how much of what we spend out of the federal trough, is so much of it is so unconstitutional, that debt clock gets narrowed. I mean, it goes away because it's all been fraud. All of our debt is fraudulent. The only debt that we need to legitimize, I tell you, the only debt we need to legitimize at the national level to make sure that the states have what they need to end Social Security and ensure that the promises made are kept so that we can move away from and end this albatross burden that has been placed upon the American people once and for all. That's what we have to do. So anyway, back to these roles, because I went down this path of, you know, how the party needs to start functioning, because as we look at the Democrats and the Republicans and the Greens, see, the Green Party wants to use democracy in establishing, you know, a green communist state. The Democrats, they just want to have a communist state. And, you know, that's why the Green Party and the Democratic Party, they get along so well. The Green Party just wants to make it more communistic and to actually kill people. They don't say that, but what they're going to do would kill lots of people, taking away your ability to produce, taking away what you can eat. A lot of people will die if the communists and the green communists actually have control, and they have that global control. So, but the Constitution Party and its Constitution meetings, it is not about anything other than helping people understand the Constitution, teaching the Constitution, and what needs to be done to actually abide by and live by the Constitution at every level of government. See, so I see the Constitution Party not as really a political party, even though it is. And even though what we want to see is we want to see the Constitution Party endorsing the most constitutional candidate. Whether that candidate is a Constitution Party member or not doesn't matter. But if we can find somebody that is noteworthy, that is embracing the Constitution Party must really, they got to go out of their way of identifying who these people are so that we can actually start educating people to say, this is why this person is such a good candidate and such a good public servant. So the trainers, we've got the petition managers, and we have event coordinators. The recruiter, basically, all of these things are dovetailing, and we've kind of talked about this. So what I want to get into at this point is this petition manager. Because technically the petition manager or this petitioning that we're going to do in the very front and starting this next week, by the way, what we need to do, and I'm going to go down this quick aside. There's a lot of people that want to start engaging right now these federal mandates and state mandates that are coming out. The state of Washington is coming close to mandating that everybody must have this vaccination. So what better time to start creating a very succinct petition to call out any public servant that supports a mandate enforcing you to actually get the jab, then they are violating their oath of office and must be removed. And so what we're going to do is we're going to create a really simple, short, and succinct petition that you're going to be able to take. And as you do this, and you're going to be able to get other people to join, because people will get on board with this very quickly, and the health freedom people will probably be able to throw resources at this. My point is that now you actually have something that brings people to the table to start letting them understand, oh, well, the political party's doing this? You guys are leading on this? because it's all about supporting the Constitution. We're going to use petitions to support the Constitution to prove to people that this is what a party should be doing. A party shouldn't be supporting an agenda by just getting people elected. It should be the champions of the Constitution. Just like the militia is supposed to enforce the laws of the Constitution. So they should be a part of this. If you start recognizing how this is not about real party, it is all about the Constitution. And so even though it's called a party and the Constitution party, it actually helps people understand that they can put their foot into this party and still be able to do other things that, you know, let's say they want to be myopic on vaccinations or abortions or what have you. They can then create their own petition on that one particular issue, but they're a part of the party itself and a part of the effort in full compliance to the Constitution, because we're going to use First Amendment petitions to challenge everything, challenge all unconstitutional powers that are coming out of the federal government and out of the state government. Okay, so this weekend, yours truly will work with, and I'm trying to have something, and I'll get it out to Bob, but I'm hoping by next week, you'll be able to download a PDF of a First Amendment petition to start going out and collecting signatures. What we want you to do is go collect signatures, and what we want you to do as well is start enlisting and enrolling people to become a part of the Constitution Party in your county by, you know, being a sponsor of the petition and letting people understand that we're going to start holding government accountable, and that's the whole essence of the Constitution Party, holding government at all levels accountable. They're going to go, well, hold it, the party actually does that? Because the Republican Party doesn't do that. That's right. There's a reason why they don't do that. You see? You see how people are going to gravitate towards the leaders who are actually leading and solving all of our problems? Because everybody has a complaint and a problem with government. Even the left. The left will actually think, oh, well, you know, I may not like this, you know, this kind of infringement, but it's for the better good. Those hardcore leftists, they'll never leave. And it's the same thing as those hardcore, I'll say, rightists, but actually they're leftists. I've gone through this. If you are conservative and you want to create laws that actually encumber people and or restrict people and so forth, and take away an individual, a person's right to sin, Now, there are laws that we should have, like moral laws of thou shalt not commit murder. If you kill but you have that right. You have a right to make that kind of mistake, but you must suffer the consequences to the full extent of the law if you do that. In other words, we should never be considering creating a state that has precognitives like the Minority Report, where you get arrested before you've committed the crime. In other words, just because these people believe that you were going to do that, until you've done it, then it's, you know, because we can't go down that path. We can never go down that path to where we have cognitives like the Minority Report arresting people before a crime is committed. That is just wrong. We can't take away the individual choice. People have a right to make mistakes. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll have more. We're not done here. We'll have more for you as we move forward.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.